The scripture reading this evening will be taken from 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 18. 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 18. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased.
Tonight we're continuing with our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 at the 12th verse as we just read together. Last week when we were looking at the beginning of this section and this study of spiritual gifts, we notice the diverse nature of gifts that God has given. These were a number that were listed here. And of course, given for the purpose of strengthening the church, being a blessing to God's people, to help them accomplish the work that God had given them, commanded them to do. And yet the sad thing is, here are gifts given by God, by the Holy Spirit, that then end up causing problems and divisions. Not because of a problem with the gifts, but because of a problem in the hearts of those who receive them, and in the congregation, a mindset that developed that was not proper toward the spiritual gifts and how they were to be used and why they were given. In our study tonight, we're looking at this idea of many members, yet one body. And as we study together from the remainder of the chapter 12 here, verses 12 through 31, we'll look at four different points relating to the body of Christ and how that these gifts tie to the body and its function and the welfare of the body as a whole. And of course, we're noticing, first of all, verses 12 through 14, which brings forth the idea of the one body and some points concerning its nature, just like it's compared to the human body. We have in verses 15 through 20 some points made concerning the diversity of the body. It's a diverse body. 21 through 26, we'll talk about a united body. And verses 27 through 31, we read about an equipped body. God has blessed His people with what they need. In the very first verse that we look at tonight, verse 12, we start this point concerning there being one body. And the beginning of this verse is a look at the human body. We all understand the body that we are given by God is composed of many different parts. You think about the human body. You've probably seen programs on television, documentaries that talk about the human body. It's many different parts, it's systems. I mean, you have different types of parts that are listed in the passage here that we're going to be looking at. You know, the eyes and the hands and the feet. But beyond that, you know, you have all different types of cells in your body, different types of tissues in your body. You have fast twitch muscles, you have slow twitch muscles. I mean, the body is so amazing in its diversity. But all of the diversity of the body, all the different parts of the body, this one body is made by God for a purpose that He has set forth to accomplish His will. He says in verse 12 here, "For as the body," this body, the physical body, "is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." So, he talks about something all the members can understand. The physical body has lots of parts, but it makes up one body. Many members, one body. And that's the way, he says, it is with the church as well. Christ is, as we know, the head, but the rest of Christ is his body. We are a part of Christ. We are baptized, as it says, into Christ. Therefore, we are a part of Christ. Being a part of Christ makes us, as individuals, members of this one body. So he says, just like you know how it is with your physical body, so it is with Christ Jesus. And then he explains here in verse 13 that by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. All are one in Christ Jesus. How did we get into the place that we are? Here is this body. How did we get here? He says in verse 13 at the beginning, by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. The one body that he's talking about here clearly is the church, the body of Jesus Christ. We know from other passages, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, that the body of Christ is the church. And here he talks about the means by which people get into it. By one Spirit we're baptized into it. Baptism brings you from the outside to the inside. Baptism is the means by which God adds people to the church or the body. And he tells us here it is by the Spirit. Now, how does that come into play? The Spirit is the one who communicates the word. When we talk about the gospel, the glad tidings, where do we find it? Right here. This teaches us the glad tidings of Jesus Christ and the salvation that is through him. From the beginning, we were told of Christ. Genesis 3 and verse 15. The prophecy that related to the seed of woman. It began a reference to the one who would eventually come and would save us all from our sins. Jesus, we know, we are able to learn of, we are able to obey because the Spirit communicates the word that we have all heard and obeyed. And thus, by the Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. He communicates the message, and we then comply with the conditions. It's just like Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Believes what? The words conveyed by the Spirit. Whoever is born of water and of the Spirit is going to enter into the kingdom of God. John chapter 3. And there again, it has to do with the waters of baptism. And the Spirit has reference to the message conveyed that must be believed so that we can then be added by God to the church. So by this one Spirit, we individuals, all of us are baptized into one body. That tells me too that the church, the body of Christ, is composed of individual people, not of divided religious organizations. That was never in the mind of God. And all division, as we read at the very beginning of this very book, is condemned. Division is not something encouraged, tolerated. In fact, this very chapter will deal with some issues relating to division in the church because of their mindset toward these spiritual gifts. But here we are baptized into the one body, whether, he says, Jews or Greeks. Doesn't matter your national background, your background in terms of what people you are a part of. Doesn't matter your social status. He talks about whether you're slave or whether you're free. That doesn't matter either. It's not an issue. Because when you're baptized into Christ, it's the same way, through the same word of the Spirit, and the same entrance conditions, baptism unto salvation for all people. And we have been all then, he says, been made to drink into one Spirit. Drinking into one Spirit. Now, when we drink of something, we partake of it. And here we drink of something together. We partake together of, or into, he says, the one Spirit. And of course, when we talk about even the Lord's Supper, when we eat and we drink of those emblems, that's a partaking together of something. And here we partake of the one Spirit when we partake of His Word and the message that is given, and we all commune together or partake together of this message that unites us, that helps us to see how we each play a part in the family of God, and also how we are united in all things, whether it be doctrine, whether it be the work that we do together, all things we have as one, being one part of one body, having drunk into one Spirit. And he makes the statement then there at verse 14, here is this one body composed not of one member, but of many different members. So you can't have a body if you have one type. If your whole body was made of one type of cell or one type of tissue, you wouldn't have a body. You would have a mass. You know, we have a body because we have all these different parts, and that is the way God has designed it. And then, beginning at verse 15, we'll talk about the concept of a diverse body. Some, according to verses 15 and 16, some felt as if they didn't have an important place in the body. It may have been because of what some were saying. It may have been because they didn't have certain spiritual gifts. But some had the mindset expressed here at verse 15. If the foot should say, suppose I'm a foot, and I say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body. I'm not of any use. I don't have, what's the point of even me being here? It's that mindset. And then the question is asked, is it therefore not of the body? No, it is of the body. You think of every part of the human body. It does have a purpose. Whether or not man has discovered the purpose, every part of the body that has been designed by God, and it all has some particular purpose or function. You know, doesn't mean that just because a certain part we can live without, that it's worthless. I mean, I can live without my fingers. I can live without my hand. I can live without one kidney. But it was made and designed by God for purpose. And it has function. And it's there for a reason. And I'm better off with it than without it. The same is true of the body of Christ. Every part of the body is vital and important. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Well, of course it's a part of the body. And it's a vital part of the body. Each and every member has a vital role. Even today, though we don't have spiritual gifts, no one is going to receive the gift of healing. There are not going to be any prophets today who speak forth the word of God or tell forth the future events that are going to take place. There's no one who hasn't studied a language that is going to be able to get up here and speak in a different language because it's a gift of the Spirit. That's not happening. And yet, God still has us each as members of the body. And every time we have a new member, that is, a new person who is baptized into Christ, there are some new assets, there are some new strengths that have just been made a part of the body of Christ. Because every individual has different blessings from God. Some people naturally have gifts for various things, just by nature. Not spiritual gifts, but just abilities that can be used in the service of God. Now, that being said, we need to understand this. And that is, God has ordained within the church and according to His purposes what He wants done within the body and in offered into worship to Him. I may have certain talents and abilities, but that doesn't mean they should be brought into the worship of God because I am able to do it. God has designated what is to be done and when it is to be done in terms of worship to Him. Now, I can use my talents and abilities in other ways that may be outside of the worship, as long as it's consistent with the nature of the Christian life that I'm to live and God's will. But we still today, each one of us has a vital place in the body of Christ. We all have talents and abilities right now where we are, and we have those that we can grow and we can develop. Here he says in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. So, those members that think, I'm not important, I really don't do anything that's essential, that's vital, need to listen to what he's saying here. That there is a part that each person plays that is important and necessary. And there are things that God has commanded all of us to do and be a part of, various works that he has given to the body as a whole, even though we individually have different abilities that contribute to the welfare of the body of Christ, and that must be done, must be carried out. God is the one who strengthens us. When Moses was so resistant to God's appointing him as the spokesman to take a message to Pharaoh and to lead his people to freedom, God became angry with him. And God said, who made man's mouth? You know, who makes... And he listed the various things that God has created, whether it was for good or whether it was, you know, a weakness. But God can and does use people who are willing to be used, and he helps us to overcome weaknesses that we have. I suppose there are many today in the world, as there always have been, who have been very fearful of speaking. You know, it's said to be one of the things that people most fear, getting up and speaking to other people. And yet I suppose there are many preachers in the world today that were able to overcome fears and inabilities just because they were driven to want to do the work of God. And that's true of any of our fears that we might have, that we can overcome them. And we can do all things through the one who died for us and strengthens us. Members have an important role. And here, talking about spiritual gifts, in their case, some of them were given the gifts of, for example, speaking in tongues, to be able to speak in another language. To many in the congregation, it might have seemed, well, man, what, they got that. And it became sort of a point of resentment and a point of pride. Some were puffed up because they had the great gifts. And others longed for things that they didn't have and felt as if they were inadequate because they didn't have the gift that they desired or that they thought was great. But the point is made, God has made things as He has seen fit and given to each one according to His will. And He says in verse 19, if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. There is no body without members. Members individually make up a body. And then in verses 21 through 26, we'll see a discussion of a united body. A united body. Now here at verse 21, he shifts to a different mindset. So you had some saying, if I'm a foot, well then I'm not really important. But now, verse 21 says, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So here might be some who had particular abilities that they thought were so important that these others were insignificant. They weren't needed. you don't count. What a terrible attitude. And yet, that's a point that he's making here that existed in the church in Corinth. Every member is vital. And that mindset, that spirit, is a spirit that leads to division. It's the spirit of haughtiness and pride. An arrogance that is so contrary to the way of Christ and the unity that God wants in the body. Verse 22, no, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. So notice, the perception is this part is weaker. God says no. This is a necessary part. This is a vital part. In this context, of course, he's talking about the spiritual gifts that we're given. Every spiritual gift given out to the various people had an important part and a place for the first century church in making sure its work could be accomplished, the gospel could be spread, the church could be fed with what it needed and could be protected from the dangers out there. So all of the things that we read, the nine spiritual gifts and whatever other specific gifts might also have been given, these things were for the benefit of the church and none was insignificant. The attitude of superiority, God is saying, get rid of it. Those that seem to be weaker, these are necessary. It's presumptuous for men to act as if something that God has given, something that God has made, really isn't necessary. If God has put it there, if God gave this particular gift, then that means that it's important. By its very nature, by implication, since God made it, gave it to a person, it's for the benefit of the church. And then he begins in verse 23 and says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. So he talks there in verses 23 and 24 about the different parts of the body, honorable, less honorable, need to be covered, don't need to be covered. The diversity in the body is all according to God's will. And God has made things in such a way that everything is supplied. And He communicates to us the importance and necessity of every part so that we will see that the body is not to be divided. There's not to be this attitude that separates brethren. Here you have gifts of the Spirit intended to strengthen and build up the church and supply them with everything they needed at that time. And yet, Christians are having, because of their mindset, a problem that's resulting in division because of it. A blessing that has been turned into a curse of sorts because of human weakness and a wrong human mindset. God does not want any division in the body, but instead he says, this is the picture that I want to give you. That every member, every part of the body of Christ should look at each other as important, have care, concern for each and every part. It's the mindset that is expressed in the book of Philippians in chapter 2, where the body is told, members of the body, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. There is a mindset of care, compassion, lowliness of mind, exalting others instead of self. Here's what he's saying here. The members of the body should look at each other as important, as necessary. Have care for one another. Take care of the body. And then he explains further in verse 26 something I think we can all relate to. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. This is the way it's supposed to be within the body of Christ. We understand that on a human level. When one part of your body, even a small part, is affected, sometimes it affects the entire body. If you have an abscess tooth, and it is just throbbing, and you have pain, and it seems like your whole self is affected by just one member that has a problem. Things like that we understand. And the body responds as a whole. It's not like the little problem is up here, the rest of my body functions normally, and I can go throughout my day and get everything done just like usual. Because it does affect us in different ways. And we can observe that on a human level. But the body of Christ is the same way. When something happens to one member of the body, there is to be an immediate response of the rest of the body, the rest of the members, that is. One member is suffering. Other members should rally around that member and seek to do what they can. When that pain begins in that abscess tooth, the body kicks in, and there are systems in place that try to relieve pain, that try to fight infection that may be there. The body is caring for itself. It realizes suffering is going on, and the troops are rallied to protect and preserve and to try to heal. That's the way it should be in the body of Christ. Members sometimes suffer. It can be maybe physical trials that people are going through. It can be spiritual trials that people are going through. The body of Christ is not to neglect individual members. Every member is to be important. Every member is to be seen as a soul made in the image of God that we love and we cherish. That should be my attitude. That should be your attitude toward every single member of this body here tonight, that was here this morning, that are not here tonight, and wherever we have faithful brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, members of the body of Christ. Care for one another. When one suffers, we suffer with it. If one is honored, we rejoice with it. There is a connection, there is a feeling, there is a family nature that is to be seen within the body of Christ. And there he says, then at verse 27, he begins, and we're calling this point an equipped body, because he says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So all of you together compose this body, the body of Jesus Christ. That reminds us that we reflect Christ when we go out here into the world. I am part of the body of Christ. What does that say about my living, my example, what I'm supposed to be? If he is the head, but I represent the body of Jesus Christ, man, I've got to live a holy life. I better be pure. I better shun evil, because I'm a reflection of Jesus Christ himself. But specifically, he says, I am an individual member. And then, look at what God has done. He has equipped the body with all of these important functions. He has appointed, verse 28, these in the church, first apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. So all of these various roles, offices, means by which you can function within the body of Christ and play an important part, he says, are appointed by God. The questions then come following that statement. Are all apostles? And of course, these statements, all of them, we know the answer to. And it was given to them to show them that each part is important, but not everyone's going to have the same function. And that's okay. That's God's intention. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer, of course, is no. But just because you don't have this one or that one doesn't mean you have nothing. You are an important place within the body of Christ, he says. And of course, all the members were different, just as today all members are different. Again, we have no spiritual gifts, but we do have abilities from God. We have work that God has entrusted us with. We have the ability to grow and develop new talents and abilities. We have courage that God gives us through His Word. We have instruction as to what we're to do and why we're to do it. We have the motivation that we are all about saving souls and making an eternal difference in the lives of people. We also have the motivation of, this is what Jesus did for me, I need to do it for others. Save souls from sin. But then the final verse leads us into what we'll be studying in a future lesson next week. And that is this, he says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. There's something better. Here they are dividing over something that's temporary. Spiritual gifts didn't last very long. They had it for a while, and all of them were given for God's purposes, but they were temporary. There is something much better that you need to be focusing on. Use the gifts. Think of them properly. Understand their importance. Don't minimize, but exalt one another and see your individual importance. But there's a better way that I'm about to show you. Indeed, there is one body. It is a diverse body made up of many, many different members with different functions. And this body, God intends to be a united body, not a divided body. And it is a body that He has equipped, that it might accomplish God's will on this earth. You see, our head is in heaven. The body is here on this earth. And the body of Christ is to be actively engaging the world. The world is lost. The world is all this darkness around us. But we have the light of Christ. We have the message of salvation that's to be communicated to the world. That's our work as a body. And each one of us today, individual members, need to remember that we play a vital role, and yes, we have that which we will even be held accountable for, that we must use, as God teaches, Jesus taught in the parable of the talents. Tonight, if you're here and not a member of the body of Jesus Christ, there's something you can do to change that. By believing in Jesus Christ with all of your heart, turning from your past sins, confessing your faith in Him, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. And becoming a part of the body of Christ is a wonderful privilege that the Lord has made possible by His death. But sometimes we wander astray from our Lord. We become negligent. We become like a dead member of the body, as it were, not fulfilling our purpose, not glorifying and honoring God, but it's as if we have been diseased and we maybe have sin in our lives. What's going to happen if we don't correct it? We're going to be cut off and cast into the fire. But we can make sure that doesn't happen. If we hear the calling of God through His Word and respond to Him and come home to Him. Or maybe you're just struggling tonight as a child of God. You need the prayers of the church and you want help as you are making your journey through your life. Whatever your needs are, we can help you tonight as we stand and as we sing.